Okay, today's daf is Baba Kama Daf Kuf Yud Zayin. We left off on Daf Kuf Tez Zayin Amud Beis. We're at the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, HaGozel Sadeh Mechaver B'Natlu Masik. And if a person steals a field from his friend, and a bunch of strong men come and take the field away from the Gazlan. So, in Makas Medina, if it's something that's happening all over the place, everyone's fields are being taken away, they're all being attacked. So, Omer Lahore Shel Chalafanecha, the Gazan can say to the original Bailam, look, take your field, go ahead, it's right there. It's yours for the taking, meaning you deal with the Masikin. I don't have to pay you money. The same thing that happened to me would have happened to you anyway. So, you're in the same position you would have been. If, however, there is obviously some shady business dealings that this Gazlan had, and that's why Masikin are coming after his field, he had something to do with the mob or something, and they're attacking his field, or fields that they perceive to be his, and had it been in the possession of the original owner, this never would have happened. Then Chayv Lahamalo Sadacher. Then the Gazlan has to provide him with another field, because the Bailam could say it never would have gotten taken away from me. It's obviously because of you that it was taken away. So then he's going to have to provide him with another field. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Mandatani Masikin Lo Mishtabesh, or Mandatani Matzikin Lo Mishtabesh. How do we refer to these people who took away the field? Is the proper text of the Mishnah that Natlua Matzikin or Natlua Masikin, with a Tzadi or with a Samach? So the Gemara says, neither is mistaken. They both make sense in the Mishnah, because the etymology of both words would indicate people who would likely take away someone's field by force. Man detani matzikin lo mishtabesh. The one that says matzikin with a tzadi is not mistaken. Dichsiv, because the pasuk says, the pasuk in the Tochacha, it says uvematzok b'matzor uvematzok. Right, so which means that when you're going to be besieged and pressed, umandatani masikin, so matzok meaning matzikin, people who press you and force you into giving away, pressure you into giving away your property, and to they confiscate your property from you. Umandatani masikin lo mishtabesh, and the one that says masikin with a samach is also not mistaken. Dechsev, because the pasuk says again, still in the Tochacha, kaleitzcha friad masecha yiyareish. Hatzalotzal. Yeyaresh Hatzalotzal means the locusts will inherit it. Why locusts? What does that have to do with people who take away your field? So Rashi says, Tzalotzal arbe gazlanhu, shochel tvuos kaladam. Locusts are gazlanim, because they go and they eat people's tvuah, they eat people's grain. Umetargaminan, and how do we, what's the targum in the words? Yeyaresh Hatzalotzal? The targum is yachsanineha saka'a. That the plunderer, the saka'a, will inherit it. So again, saka'a means the plunderer. So masikin makes sense. Masikin are the people who take away other people's fields. Im machmas a gazlan chayiv. So we said if they only took away the field because of this gazlan, he has some dealings with these people, and that's why they were after him. So then he's going to have to replace the field for the person that he took it from. Say, hey chidami, what's the case? If you want to tell me the case is that they only attacked this guy's fields and no one else's, well, that I would already figure out from the diuk of the Reisha. The Reisha already says that if they attacked him because, if they were attacking all the fields, then you do have to, then you don't have to replace the field. You could just say Areshel Chalafanecha. So I could deduce on my own, obviously, that if they weren't attacking all the fields and they obviously targeted this guy, then he's going to have to replace it. So what's the chiddush of then telling me that if they were targeting this guy, he's going to have to replace the fields? It's obvious. Well, what would be the chiddush? I would already know that from the Areshel. Fractosis of your tema, the Bekama Makomus Ika Hachisha Kofel Dvarav. That's not really a kasha. Mishnayos do that all the time. If yes, yes. If no, no. Right? So we always say that. We always say like that. We never ask, well, why do you tell me if no, no? You already told me if yes, yes. I could be medayik from if yes, yes. Then of course if no, no. What do you mean? That's the way the Mishnayos talk. What kind of diuk is that? So it says, Tosos Yeshlovan to diek mi dahavale l'misni v'imlav chayiv. Instead of the Mishnah saying, Im machmas hagazlan chayiv, it already said, if it's a makas medina, your potter just say reshal chalafanecha. How would the Mishnah normally say the flip side? Im lav, if it's not a makas medina, chayiv. But it doesn't just say im lav. It says the im machmas hagazlan chayev laham b'sada acher. Sounds like it's a whole total new separate halacha. Because if it was working off of the first halacha, it could have just said im lav. If not, okay, good, so chayev. So says Gemara, lo tzricha da ach ve'achuyah. So the case in the Seifa must be that it's not that they attacked this guy's field. The case in the Seifa is that he showed the gazlanim they wanted a field to take, and he said, oh yeah, go over there, take that field. Which Tos says is a chiyuv of dina de garmi. That's not direct damage. You didn't directly take the field. You just pointed the masikin into the direction of this person's field. And of course, they were going to take that field. The Tosfos is bothered though. In the middle of the last Tosfos on the page, says v'teimel Rashba de la elba goes al kama lo meshkachas trameir don din the garmi el abraisa de mechitz akerim she nifritza de lo shamin and dasa trameir el mikoach ahim mishna da mesachich v'amayel lo maisi yasa masis and dachan de mechaim din the garmi. The Gemara previously goes through a whole arichus to try to find where is there a braisa or a mishna that holds like trameir that we're done in dina de garmi, that you're going to be mechayev in cases of garmi, and we can't find anything. So we find one case. So Fractosos, why not this mission right here? According to what we're saying now, you show the person the field and you're chayiv for that. That's Dina de Garmi. So why don't we say this is a case where you're chayiv for Dina de Garmi? He says, no, we'd rather not prove it from this Mishnah, because in this Mishnah it really doesn't say explicitly that the case is that you showed the Masik in the field. It doesn't really say that you mastered the field over to the Masik. And we're metarits the Mishnah, that's what the Mishnah means, but it doesn't say it explicitly. So we're not going to use this Mishnah as the source of Tanoim, who hold like Rav Meir, or a Mishnah that goes like Rav Meir, because this Mishnah is far from explicit. Lishnakrina, another lesson of what went on here. Hachmaiskinon, kigon dan sua akum. No, it's a case where Gayim or Ma'anis, the person, va'amilei achvi arasei, and they said to him, show us your lands. Va'achvi hubadayu. And not only did he show them his own lands, he showed them this other guy's lands also. He figured, Thomas Nafshi and Plishim, I might as well, take my friend down with me. So that's the case where he's going to have to reimburse him. So there was a guy who showed these masikin, the storage house of wheat of the Reish Galusa. So they went for a dintar of Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman was mechayev them to pay for the wheat. It was mechayev this guy to pay back for the wheat. Yosef Rav Yosef Acharid Rav Huna Barchia Yosef Rav Huna Barchia Kamed Rav Nachman. So some rabbis were sitting there. Amalei Rav Huna Barchia Rav Nachman Dino Knasa. So Rav Huna Barchia said to Rav Nachman, this that you're making him pay back, is that a din or is that a knas? Is that making a din or is that just a penalty? Amalei Masisni says, look, it's a Mishnah. Ditnan Imachmas Agazim Chayev Lahamad Al Sadev. Right, we interpreted our mission to be talking about a case where you showed the masik in somebody else's field. So that's all, so it's pashut in the Mishnah that you're chayiv. So Basa Dinafik, after he left, Amalei Rav Yosef Rav Huna Barchia, my nefka lachmina yidina kenasa. What difference does it make if it's a din or a kenas? Either way, it's chayiv. Meaning, well, what kind of kasha is that? Is it a din or is it a kenas? So he says, no, I'll tell you what the nefka mina is. Amalei yidina gamrinin mine. I kenasa lo gamrinin mine. If it's a din, so then you can apply it elsewhere, right? You can learn from this story of Rav Nachman to all other cases of garmi in Nezikin that you're going to say that we're done din the garmi and you're always going to be chayiv. But if you hold that it's a knas, so Rav Nachman also is not da in dina de garmi. He also doesn't hold that you should be mechayiv by all cases of garmi. He made a knas on this guy, says Rashi, who the concept of Nachman mishum de rugil haya bekach, because this guy was making a habit out of doing this. So Rav Nachman just figured you have to put a stop to this. So Rav Nachman came up with this knas of making him pay back. But einoch inami meikar adin, you wouldn't be chayiv. So it's very important to know whether it's a knas or a din. Can we apply this to other cases of garmi? Now, l'chora, there are other nafkaminas also whether something is a knas or a din. What about moda? If he's moda b'knas? Right, so l'chora, if it was a knas or a din. But the thing is, it doesn't sound like this is the type of knas that we talk about when we talk about moda b'knas. Moda b'knas is talking about a knas that the Torah imposes on you, right? That chiv kefel, chiv dal v'hei. So you moda on those things, you're going to be pater. Over here we're talking about a rabbinically imposed knas, meaning, and it was more like off the cuff imposed, meaning the shaila was, did you do this because you saw something in this case? In which case, it's not even shaykh to talk about mod beknas. Meaning, if the judge wants to penalize you because he thinks you're a terrible person and you're a danger, you're a menace to society, and you're going to continue to do this, then do mod. He's gonna be mechayev you whether you're mod or not. It's not subject to mod beknas. It's subject to what he thinks you're going to do to society. Mod beknas is by specific knasos that are imposed by the Torah. So although the normal nafkamina, whether something is a knas or a din, is mod beknas, the Gemara doesn't go with that nafkamina over here. For that reason, so it says Gemara. We not tamer the beknas alogamina. How do I know though that just because something is a knas, you can't apply it elsewhere? Maybe it was a knas, but maybe you see from here that you're supposed to make a knas on people like this. How do you know that on people who do garmi? So you know, make a din, they're not chayv. But maybe we should learn from Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman did the right thing. That anytime someone damages someone else with garmi, we should make a knas on him. So the Tanya, because we have a brayso brishono yom ram tamim amenasech. First we said that only a metameh and a menasech. If someone is metameh someone else's taharos, or he's menasech someone else's wine for avodah zarah, so there's no hezek nicker, you can't tell any damage that was done. The wine looks the same, the taharos look the same, it's just that they're tameh now. So first we made a din that you're going to have to pay. But then we said, even if you're medameh, what's medameh? You mix chulin with truma. So obviously the chulin used to be worth a lot more money because it was a greater market for people who could have bought it. Now that you've mixed it with truma, the only potential buyers are kohanim. No one else is going to be able to buy it because no one else is allowed to eat truma. So you weren't metameh anything, but you mixed chulin with truma. So you also did damage on hezek sheino nicker. So what does it sound like? That it was a case-by-case basis. That first they were mechayev from metameh and menasech. Then they said, you know what? Let's be mechayev from metameh also. But it wasn't automatic. That just because you're chayev from metameh and menasech, they're also automatically going to be chayev from metameh. Not all hezek sheino nicker is going to be included necessarily. So you see, chazru in. It's only because they came back to revisit the issue of metameh. That's why you're chayev lo, chazru lo. But had they not come back to revisit the issue, it would have remained pater. My taima, why would it have remained pater? Lav mishum de knasu, knasu lagamrin mine. Isn't it because it's a knas? And you see that by, you can't learn from one a case to another by knas. By knas, when we impose a knas, we could assume it only applies in the case that we imposed it, and we can't necessarily learn from one to the other. So that's where we know that that a knas we're not gamrin and mine. Says Gemara, lo, meikara savri lehefsim ruba chashu lehefsim lo chashu. No, that wasn't nothing to do with not learning from a knas. You couldn't learn from these two cases because they're so different from each other. Metame and menasech are both cases where there's hefsim ruba. You're totally destroying the item. When you're metameh, the taharos, they're totally destroyed. When you're menasech, you take the yayin and menasech for avodah zarah, you asu the whole yayin. But when you're metameh, you decrease its value a little bit because the market is no longer only for everybody, it's only for kohanim now. So they thought that it's not worth making a kanas in the case of metameh. And then they realized afterwards, when they revisited the issue, that they should be choshesh for hefsin mu'ud also. So frekumara eini, v'atani avod rabbi avim, v'rishono yomru ha-metameh v'amedameh. Says, no, is that really so? We have the word slightly turned around. That initially they asked mitame, which is a hefsin meruba, and midamea, which is only a hefsin muat. And then only later on they included menasech. So you see, it has nothing to do with hefsin meruba, hefsin muat. Sounds like chazrin lo chazrulo. My time allow me some de lo garmin miknasa. Sounds like it's because you can't learn from one knas to the other. That's why they had to go and revisit the issue of menasech if they wanted to make it usher. You couldn't just learn it from mitame and midamea. So Gemara says, lo, that's not at all the issue. Meikara savak rabbi yavin, so savak rabbi yirmiya. No, it's initially they held like rabbi yavin, and then eventually they held like rabbi yirmiya. Why? Meikara savak rabbi yavin, who are rabbi yavin and rabbi yirmiya? So the Gemara explains. Initially, they held like Rabbi Yavin, Dama Rabbi Yavin, Zarechetz, Mitchilas Arba, Lesof Arba, Vekarashi, Rotten, Balichaso, Pater, Sharia, Kirat, Zarech, Anachi, Yumaschai, Benafsho, that the halacha is, if on Shabbos you take an arrow and you shoot it, four amos in Rosh Hashanah, and along the four amos, there's a guy walking by with baggy clothing, and the arrow shoots right, nicks his shirt, and puts a big hole in his shirt. So normally you'd be chayiv to pay for a guy's shirt that you ruined. But over here you're going to be pater, because you're in the process of being chayiv misa while you ruined the guy's shirt. So come lebidramine, and therefore you're only going to get the more severe of the two punishments, which is the chiyuv misa. But we say that there is this concept of akira tzorach anachi, even though the chiyuv misa is only chal once it lands 4 amos away. It ripped the guy's shirt before it landed 4 amos away. So maybe you could say the chiyuv mamon came before the chiyuv misa. We don't say that. We say akira tzarech hanacha. Part of landing 4 amos away is traveling those 4 amos. So it's all considered one long action. So hu adin over here, the Gemara doesn't say spell it out clearly, but we want to say the same thing over here. When you're menasech someone's yayin, the havamina was, we should exempt him from paying for the yayin, because being menasech wine to avodah zarah is a chiv misa, you're violating avodah zarah. When I pick it up, I didn't yet do avodah zarah, and I start to be menasech it, it's not yet avodah zarah, it's only when the nisuch is... but you're picking it up, letzorech the nisuch. So it's all one long action. You can't do nisuch without picking it up first. And that's why we wanted to exempt him from any payment. So that's what we thought originally. Then we revisited the issue of menasech, l'besov sover k'rib Yirmiyah, and then we had like Rabbi Yirmiyah, dam Rabbi Yirmiyah, m'shas hakba'a kanya, yichayv le'mamon, m'shayv nafshu la'aviyat shas nisuch. When you initially pick it up, that's when you're kona and yichayv mamon. When are you chayiv for the nisuch? When are you chayiv the misa? Only when you're actually menasech it. Rav Huna bar Yehuda ikla lebe avyone, asal kamei derava. Amar le klum maisa bal yavcha. So a lot of times rabbis meet each other and they ask questions like this. Klum maisa bal yavcha, you have any interesting shilas lately? A lot of times you start a conversation like this, a good conversation starter. Anything interesting come up lately? So amar le Yisrael shansu avdi kuchavim, vehera mamun chaveiro bal yadi, b'chiyavtiv. He says, yeah, I actually did an interesting shila. I had a Jew who, a guy had taken away, had been ma'anis him to give him money, and the Jew decided to show his friend's money. And the guy took the friend's money, so I was mechayev the Jew to pay back the friend for showing his money. Amalei, I had the Rav Delamari. He said, oh my God, you made a terrible mistake. You have to retract that psak right away. Titania, because you have a brisa, Yisrael shansu avdei chav meheramam chaver pater. We have a brisa that says, exactly your case, except it ends with the word pater. He wasn't chayev. When are you going to be chayev? Only if he physically took it, the Jew physically took it and gave it to the guy. That's when he's going to be chayev. Short of that, he's pater. So Rabbi says, no. If he went ahead and showed him directly, that's the same thing as nasim nasim biyad. That's the same thing as taking possession and giving it. Who governed on suav de chavim va'achve achamra derav mari breid derav pinchas breid derav chista? There was a guy that, again, of the chavim were pressuring him to give them something, and he showed the wine of Rav Mari breid derav pinchas breid derav chista for them to take. Amrulei, the of the chavim then said, Dari ve'amti ba'adan. We don't only want you to show it to us. We want you to schlep all this wine. It's going to be such a trouble for us. Help us schlep it also. So they wanted him to literally do the physical schlepping also. Dari ve'amti ba'adan. So he did. Asal kabit Ravashi patrine. So they went to Ravashi and Ravashi patered him from paying him back. Amrulei rabban Ravashi v'atanim nosim nosim biyav chayiv. But then we have a brisa that says if you physically take possession of it and give it over to the guy in your chayiv, Amrulei hani mi'lechad lo'uk me'ilavei me'ikara. That's only if the guy was not standing over it originally. But when the guy is standing there right over it, so it doesn't make a difference at this point if you're going to pick it up or not. He was already standing over it. It's as if it was destroyed already. When you subsequently pick it up and help him schlep it, it was theirs by that time already. So as long as initially, before they took possession of it, you didn't, and before they were standing right over it, you didn't nasam nasam biyad, you didn't physically give it to them, then you're okay. Esri Rabbi Avad Ravashi, Amalo Anas Hoshali Pakiya Amir Zeh, Oh Eshkalanav Mzeh, Vahoshal Chayev. What if the Anna says, can you pass me that? Can you pass me that item that belongs to someone else? And you pass it to him, you're Chayev. Aye, but if he asks you to pass it to him, isn't it obvious that they were already standing over it? No, the case over here is the guy himself couldn't reach it. He asked you to pass it for him not because he was lazy, but because he had no way of getting it. He was on the other side of the river, and the items were on the side of the river that you were on. So he asked, can you get it and pass it over to me, throw it over to me? He had no way of getting it. And the other case, obviously, where Trevor Dinara comes up, most famously, of course, is the sugya of Lifneiva, right? When you're causing someone else to do an Avera, right? So is he able to do the Avera without you? That's going to determine whether it's Lifneiva Daraisa or whether it's only Messiah Uday over Avera Midrabanan. But anyway, that's not our issue over here. Over here it's an issue of, are you going to be chayiv for Mesira? Are you going to be chayiv for giving over your friend's property? And it's meduyuk that the guy himself couldn't reach it because he says the word hoshit, not just give it to me, but pass it to me, meaning I can't reach it. Shmamina, fine. Hahush Shusa, Davumnatsu Alabe Trey. There were two guys that were fighting over a Shusa. Rashi has some type of fish netting that they would use for traps. So, Hai Amar Didihu, Vahai Amar Didihu. So, normally when two people are fighting over something, one guy says it's mine, the other one says it's mine. So, Azul Chaminai, Masal Parani, the Malchus. So, one of them was so upset that the other one was claiming it was his that he decided to give it over to the Malchus. Meaning, he said, well, you know what? If this guy's going to claim it's his and I'm not going to get it anyway, I just don't want him to have it. So, he gives it over to the Malchus. So, Amar Abai, Yachal Amar Anaki Masri Didi Masri. Abai says, well, he could have a taina that when I gave it to the Malchus, but it was mine. So Amar Le Rav, Kol Kaminei, really, you could do that. You could claim it's yours and then just give it over to the Malchus and be Pater because you claimed it was yours. Elo Amar Rav, Mishamtin Le, Ad Maisi Le V'Koy B'dine. No, we put him in a Shamta until till he stands Din Torah. Ha'u Gavra, meaning until we find out who really belonged to him. If it belonged to the other guy, then he's going to have to pay for it. Ha'u Gavra Davabaya Achvuye Asivna Dechavre. A guy wanted to show his Asivna Dechavre, his friend's Asivna. I'm not sure what that is. Also, he came to Rav Amalei, lo tachvi, lo tachvi. So he came to Rav, and Rav said, no, don't do it. Don't give up your friend's stuff. Amalei said, oh yeah, machvina. Watch me. I'm going to do it. Yosef Rav Kana Kamei Rav. Rav Kana was standing right there. So this guy was about to give up, be master everything. Rav Kana was standing right there. Shante l'koy minei. And he kills the Moser. So this is actually halacha l'maisa. I don't know l'maisa, but it's halacha. The Shulchan Aruch, the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch, both paskin, that if you have someone who's a masers, you're allowed to kill him. Where do they learn it from? They learn it from Rav Kana, that Rav Kana killed this person who masered. Now you just have to be very careful with the word Mesira, first of all. Just what does Mesira mean? A lot of times people invoke Mesira in an inappropriate context. When you have someone who's a menace to society and who's putting people's lives in danger, so it's not a Mesira to give him up to the authorities. If we can't do anything to stop him, and the authorities can do something to stop him, so it's not called Mesira. If Shechter once told the story, he said that they once called him up from a yeshiva somewhere, an elementary school, and they said, we think the principal is messing around with some of the little kids. What should we do? So Shechter said, what do you want you to do? Call the police. They said, wow, Rav Gifter said the same thing. Of course Rav Gifter said the same thing. It's obvious, right, in such a case. Someone is mamish, a menace to society, of course you call it, that's what you have to do. But we're talking about a case of the Moser over here is not for no reason. He's not giving up people who are menaces to society. He's just stopped giving up people left and right to the of the Kochavim. He's giving up the lands. So such a Moser you kill. So Kari Ravi Lavei. So Rav said about Rav Kahana, Banecha Ulfu Shachvu Barosh Kolchutzos Kitav Michmar, that it's like your children have fainted and they're lying all over the place like a wild ox. Matav Zek, even She Nafal B'michmar Im Rachmanalav, just like an ox that's in a trap, we no longer have Rachmanasan. Af Momen Shal Yisrael, Kiven She Nafal B'yalav D'chavim Im Rachmanalav. So too, someone who allows Momen Shal Yisrael to be Nafal B'yalav D'chavim, to go in the hands of Av D'chavim, you're not going to have any Rachmanas on him. Meaning Rav Kahana, you did the right thing. Now the Rambam says, like we said, you are allowed to kill someone who masters, but Shulchan Aruch passes in Shin Pei Ches Yud Aleph that after he's already mastered, then it's usher to kill. It's like a rodef, right? That when someone is rodef achar chaver, you're allowed to kill the rodef, but if you already killed him, then you're not allowed to kill him. You have to bring him to justice. Then you bring him to a din Torah. But while you can save somebody by killing him, only then are you allowed to kill him. Once it's already too late, he's already done it, then you're no longer allowed to kill him. The Ramah, however, writes that if he's done it repeatedly, he masters, pam achar pam, he does it over and over again, then you're allowed to kill him al yidei grama. You can kill him, but not directly. You have to do grama. How do you do killing with grama? What do you do exactly? You put poison in his food? Like, what exactly are you going to do? So poison in his food might be one idea. The Shach quotes from the Tshuva Sarash, you could hire a hitman. That's called grama. Marshall says, that's not grama, that's shlichus, right? You hire a shliach, that's not grama, that's shlichus. Marshall says that, after all, we paskin, even though ein shliach la'akum, we paskin yesh shliach la'akum l'chumra, right? That we're going to paskin that there is shliach for a goy l'chumra. And the Rabbi Kiveger quotes from Tshuva Beis Yaakov that you're not going to say ein shliach l'dvar aveira when it comes to a goy or a mumar. Because the whole svar of Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira is that Divrei Rav, Divrei Talmud, Divrei Mishomin, that you could assume that he wouldn't have listened to you, he would have listened to what the halacha is, right? So why would he listen to you to go kill somebody? But you're not going to say Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira when it comes to someone who you know doesn't listen to the Ribbono Shel Olam ever. So you're by a guy or a mumah or something like that. So therefore, hiring a hitman is not called grama. That's shlichus. That's what the Marshal's taina is. Anyway, Amalei Rav Kahane, Adi Inahavu Parsoi Dol Kaptia Shvichus Dam Mahashli Yiku Yevnoi Dekaptia Shvichus Dam. He says, unfortunately, the current government doesn't like when I kill people. So Vamri Mardin Mardin, they're going to get really upset about it. So Kum Saklar Di Yisrael, so I better get out of here. I'm going to be a fugitive now. So he ran to Eretz Yisrael because his Rebbe told him, you better go to Eretz Yisrael. But Rav told him, look, go to Eretz Yisrael, but you have to make a Kabbalah in order to be mechaper for what you did. You need to make a Kabbalah that you're not going to ask any questions of Rabbi Yochanan in his shir for 7 years. You're going to listen to Torah, but you're not going to ask any questions for 7 years. Now, interestingly, he needs a kapara. What do you need a kapara for? The Gemara learns a halacha from here that you're allowed to do what he did. So what's the kapara? So that's a debate in the Achronim. They try to come up with creative. Maybe he upset the Rebbe a little bit that he was leaving town. He needs some kapara for something. He upset Rav a little bit that he was leaving town. Something he needs a kapara for. Azal Ashkel the Reish Lakish Diyosav Kamasai Masifta Diyom LeRabbanan. So he went to Eretz Yisrael and Rav Kahana found that Reish Lakish was saying Chazara Shir for Rabbi Yochanan. He was saying over Rabbi Yochanan's Shir to the other rabbis. Amr Lahu Reish Lakish Hecha. So he said, where is Reish Lakish? After Reish Lakish was done with the shir, he went over to the other rabbi. He said, where did Reish Lakish go? Amar le'amai. They said, well, why do you need Reish Lakish for? Amar lo, hi kush, hi piruka. Well, I have this kasha and that kasha and this answer and that answer. I have so much to say. I heard his shir. There's so much to say. Amar le'amai Reish Lakish. They told Reish Lakish, this guy, you got a live one over here. This guy's unbelievable. So Azal Reish Lakish, Amar le'amai Rabbi Yochanan, Ari Olam Mibava, La'im Abram Sifta Del Machar. So Reish Lakish warned Rabbi Yochanan, you better be well prepared for shir tomorrow because there's a guy that just came from Bavel. He's unbelievable. He's a lion. He's going to be asking you left and right. You better be ready. So they sat him right away in the first row because they were so impressed by him. Kamed Rabbi Yochanan in front of Rabbi Yochanan. Amar Shmeitz of Lo'akshis. Rabbi Yochanan started saying shir and he started like baiting him. He started saying things that were unusual maybe. And he didn't ask a single kasha. Not a word. Shmeitz of Lo'akshis. Why? Because Rav had told him 7 years you're not allowed to ask a kasha of Rabbi Yochanan. So he was sitting there stifled. He was silenced. So Shmeitz of Lo'akshi, he again asked, and Lo'akshi and Rabbi Yochanan said shir, and again he didn't ask. Anchasei achorei sheva dari ada osri bedar basra, and they kept on moving his seat back because he wasn't asking any questions. He showed he obviously wasn't that sharp, or they thought he wasn't that sharp, so he kept on moving his seat back to 7 rows till he was in the last row of the classroom. Like we've said many times, the way they used to arrange the classrooms was that the smartest kids would sit in the front, the smartest talmidim would sit in the front, and the lowest talmidim, they would arrange it in the order of how good you are. So he was all the way in the back row of Kana. So Amalei Rav Yochanan L'Rav Shimon Ben Lakish, Arisha Marta Nasa Shul. So Rav Kana says to Reish Lakish, yeah, your big lion is nothing but a fox. Why a fox, of all things? So Ben Yoyad explains that a fox is very sly. He's good at tricking people and things like that. So meaning he said he tricked you. He came and he asked all these kashas. He obviously, you know, got the Cliff Notes or something. He heard the shir somewhere before, and he had all these kashas prepared. So he asked all these kashas, but he's not actually smart. He just knew that one sugya that he was able to ask all these kashas. He was very slick. Finally, Rav Kahana couldn't take it anymore. He said, "Okay, these 7 rows that I was moved back should be the equivalent of the 7 years that Rav told me I can't ask anything." So he gets up on his feet. Why does he get up on his feet? Why can't he sit if he's going to talk? Why does he have to get up on his feet? So some of the Achronim say that that's based on Marsha says, I think, that we say that when someone doesn't know anything, Zlo Matsa Yad Varaglov. They can't even find his hands and feet. So it's Kama Kare, meaning symbolic of, I know exactly what I'm talking about. Amalei Nehadamar Bereisha, he says, say the shir over again, I'll tell you my kashas. Amar Shmaitz Rabbi Yochanan started saying the shir va'akshi, and he asked on it, Ukmi B'dar Kama, and they eventually moved him all the way to the front row. Amar Shmaitz va'akshi, and again he said, continue to say shir, and he kept on asking kashas. Rabbi Yochanan v'yasav Hashem Bastarki, Rabbi Yochanan was sitting on 7 mats, Shalfi Lechad Bastarki me to say, and they would take 1 mat from under him each time he would ask another kasha. Eventually, Rabbi Yochanan was left sitting on the ground. Maral says that these 7 bastarki weren't literal. It means that of the 7 levels of chachma that a Talmud chacham could have, Rabbi Yochanan was considered to have been on the highest level. So says Maral, Chazal that each time Rav Kahana asked another kasha that Rabbi Yochanan couldn't answer, in the eyes of everyone else, he went down a level in his chachma. So he was sitting on the floor now, meaning he was just like a regular Talmud Chacham. Now he wasn't anything special. Rabbi Yochanan Gavra Sabah. Rabbi Yochanan happened to have been an old man at this time. My father-in-law called me last night. He was all excited. He was listening to a shiur online from Rabbi Dr. Yaakov Elman, one of the Bible professors in YU when I was there, and he said he was learning this Gemara with historical references, and he said he was able to prove that Rabbi Yochanan was only 50 years old. But sometimes you refer to a 50-year-old as an old man also, like the Gemara, the Navi says Shmuel got old. Shmuel never got old. He died at 52. What do you mean he got old? So sometimes when a person feels old and they look old, and he tried to diagnose his illness, I don't know. Okay, I didn't have a chance to listen to the shiur. But Rabbi Yochanan was an old man, umasruche gvine, and his eyelids were covered his eyes. He had these long eyelashes. He couldn't see. Amrlo, he couldn't lift his own eyes. Amrlo hu daluli ini vachsia. So he said, okay, I got to see this guy. Pick up my eyelids so I can see this guy. Why did he need to see him? Because now that he's a Talmud, now that he's learning from him, so vayu enecha ro'es es morecha. Prior to that, he was only teaching, so he doesn't need to see the Talmidim when he's teaching. But when you're learning, it's important to see the Rebbe. So he says, so let me see. So dalu lebe machalta de kaspa, they lifted with these silver kalim, they lifted his eyelids. Chazad de parti savvase, and he saw that Rav Kahana's lip was, he had like a cleft lip. So savrachu kamachayich be, so he thought that Rav Kahana was smirking. You know, he had one of these perpetual smirks. So he thought that he was smirking and laughing at him. Chalash daiti benach nafshe. So Rabbi Yochanan got upset, and Rav Kahana died on the spot. So I guess instead of saying a hesped, Rabbi Yochanan says to the other rabbis, you see the chutzpah of this Babylonian that I just killed? Can you believe he's laughing at me? He's mocking me? So Amalei, darkei achi, the Talmidim say, oh no, Rabbi, that's just how he looks. He just has one of these perpetual smirks. He wasn't really mocking you. So he said, oh, vey, what did I do? Alugabe marasa, chazad ahava, hadrulei achna. So he went to the cave where he was buried, and he saw that there was a snake protecting the cave. Open your mouth and let the Rav go visit his Talmud. Let me go visit my Talmud. And the snake didn't listen. He said, okay, let a chaver visit another chaver. The snake didn't listen. Yichanis Talmud Eitzel Rav, let me, the Talmud, go visit my Rebbe. So then finally, Pasachle, the snake opened its mouth and was okay. Let the Talmud visit the Rebbe. Maral says that this is a relationship a Talmud has with the Rebbe. The feelings that Talmud has toward a Rebbe of Hakaras HaTov and the feelings of Ava Talmud has for a Rebbe are so great that even the snake, which represents Pirud, represents Lashon Hara and separating people from each other, even the snake can't give in to that kind of pressure. That kind of Ava, the snake has to bow out. But any other kind of, the lesser kind of Ava, the snake stands strong. So Rav Yochanan davened and he did Tchias HaMesim. He brought Rav Kahana back to life. So some say, one of the Achronim says, there's no doubt he could have done Tchias HaMesim, but that's not what it means. He didn't really do Tchias HaMesim. It means that he was fainted or something, or he was almost dead and he revived him in some way. Okay, I don't know. The Pash Pshat sounds like he did Tchias HaMesim. Had I known that you just have this perpetual smirk, I wouldn't have gotten upset and you wouldn't have died. Come back with us. You know, you're welcome back to Shir anytime. No, thank you. I don't want to take my chances. You know, sometimes if I speak a little too much chutzpah and it gets you upset, I don't want to go through this again. So no, thank you. Oh, is it Rosh Chodesh? I was supposed to stop. Oh, I really paced myself badly. We'll just get to it. So that's Hol v'Chalif Shaita Chalif. So since the time was up, it's too late. Tyrei Ukum Shaila called Sveka Dahavale Pashtunun Ele. So he woke him up and he asked him all questions and he was posted all the Svekos. Hanadam Rabbi Yochanan Dilchun Ami Dilhunhi. And that's what Rabbi Yochanan always says. I used to always think all the Torah was in Eretz Yisrael, but you Babylonians really showed your mettle by giving me this Rav Kahana. Okay, sorry, I didn't realize.